Greetings, salutations, positive vibrations. Welcome back to another episode of Off the Post, the world class football podcast. I am your host, football journalist Nick Maitland, and once again I am joined for this episode by my good brother, Mr. Keith Grell Griffith. He always makes sure that I have to put in the Grell. So good evening, Grell. How are you doing, man?
Blessing, Maitland. Good to hear you.
It's good to hear you as well.
It's always a blessing to be in conversation with you on the soccer field.
Indeed. I love speaking to you. I love getting your reaction and your analysis of things. And let's start with the international break. We just come off the international break. You know, there were some games, some World Cup qualifiers that were held. But the big thing for me coming out of this international break was the fact that even though all these big nations, Germany, Spain, France, all these guys were involved, even Jamaica, the Barbados Traders were not involved. I think the next time we will be involved will be next March in the CONCACAF Nations League. We are in League B of the Nations League. Coming up to that time, there's going to be a lot of preparation, a lot of scouting for new players. Coach Latipi always speaks about his player pool and the players that he has available, the players at his disposal. But Keith, I know that you have some ideas of how we can strengthen this player pool, and really and truly the guys who are on the fringes of this player pool, whether they may be quite young and not ready for the senior setup or may have been involved in the senior setup and could be in line for a return or maybe should be in line for a return. COVID has set a lot of things on the back burner, but what's your thoughts on the national team going forward and hopefully being in contention to do well in the Nations League in March?
Well, we would have to start now as we speak to make sure that we have the best available players locally for us, and then the ones who are based overseas, we will bring them in accordingly. But the team, based on my knowledge of the modern soccer game, you have to have that home base, first of all, where you can call on those players to give you good, consistent performances with results.
Right.
It is okay to look pretty, playing out in the back and across the midfield. By the end of 90 minutes, Maitland, you need the result. The result is the key. And there are a number of players, in my opinion, who did not play in the World Cup qualifying or when we played in the Nations League to get to the Gold Cup. I'm still wondering when these players will be either invited back and when would they be willing to represent Barbados again.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of guys on the fringes, I would say, and on the fringes for whatever reason, we are not sure. I'm sure that the management of the team knows and these players know as well. But there are two players, Shaquille Bell from Ellerton, Romario Harewood from Weymouth Wales, two players exceptionally skilled, but they are on the outskirts of the national team, and for whatever reason, they're probably two of the best players not regularly selected for the national team. How can we get these players back into the fold, and how can we encourage, how can the BFA especially, encourage more players who may not be feeling so welcome into the national setup, who are perfectly skilled and equipped to play for the national team? How can the BFA really bring persons back into the fold, strengthen that player pool that we have?
In my opinion, again, the president has been in football for all his life. The general secretary, Mr. Woods, has always been there, and he is always willing to give support to the players. These, along with the other senior members, vice president, Mr. Walcott, and then you have persons who have played for Barbados, like Omari Eastman, Dale Rudder, who are on the executive, can sit with these players, show them the importance of representing your country, and whatever reason there is, that should be easily discussed and sorted out. Everything has to come down to stipend for playing for Barbados. As the younger generation would say, in these times, make them that easy, in major parlance. But you need to sit with the players, the ones you just mentioned, two of the outstanding players. I'm always promoting the name of Romario Harewood. I see him as the best player in the country. Shaquille Bell had an outstanding out-of-season tournament. I see him as a top striker. And then you know these players' names better than I do. But one of the best center backs I've seen in Barbados over the last couple of years is Miller, who plays for Wales.
Ramar Miller.
Yes, he reads the game very, very well. He may not be in the class of Quacker Gutter or Wayne Sobers, but he has all the attributes of making a good centre back. Young Codrington, who was the captain of BDF.
Shane Codrington, yeah.
He's also a very, very good defender. And there are other players who I believe has that ability to step up and do Barbados proud. Another player who excites me a lot, I coached his dad years ago, Dwayne Gill was his name, top striker for Paradise and Barbados. And his son who plays in Hungary, Jerry Gill, has all the natural ingredients to be a top Barbados player.
We would have noted on the podcast and noted also in the newspaper, thanks to the good work by our friend Anmar Goodrich Boyce, that Thierry may be on the way to the Italian Serie A in January. So that is another step in his blossoming career so far. And do you think he can be a success in Italy?
He will be a success wherever he goes. Once he has that discipline and he makes his mind up, this is what I want to do for a living for me and my family. He has all the football attributes. He can dribble left, he can dribble right. He has good feet for shooting, which he inherited from his dad. And playing school football, he scored endless goals. In fact, I see him as the leading person for the development of football in this country. Because once he succeeds, the younger generation will come floating through.
I am totally in agreement with that. And once we can get one out there, I think that all the rest will follow on. And following on from that point, I want to draw your attention to the Writers Roundtable question. You know that every Sunday in our Sunday Sun, we have the Writers Roundtable. And the question for this week is, what plans should government have for sports other than cricket? It was well documented that last week, Prime Minister Mia Admore-Motley indicated that $1 million will be allocated to cricket development in the island. Lots of persons were in agreement. Lots of persons were of the view that cricket already gets a lot of support and cricket does not need the support. And what needs supporting is the refurbishment of the national stadium, as well as facilities for other sports and just plain old financial support for the other sports. So because we're speaking about football, Keith, you have been involved in this thing for almost 5 decades, maybe more. What can the government of Barbados do in a very positive and real way to assist football on the island?
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email epapersupport at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebel St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Again, in Beijing parlance, that easy. The Honorable Prime Minister, I am certain that she will be upfront with football because I remember commentating the line tournament.
Yes.
And she was in charge of the line tournament along with President Randy Harris.
Yes.
So that should be more than easy. Do you agree with me?
I agree. Even if they give the BFA finances or set up programs on their end, you've been in the Sports Council as a coach for many years. What can the government do to really spruce up, let's say, the National Sports Council's programs or even the BFA's programs? What can they put in place?
First of all, you made a very salient point at the beginning when you mentioned the National Stadium. Lots of people have gone to the National Stadium in the past. It was like a fortress. Barbados never used to lose games at the stadium, you know. We didn't win all, but we were very, very strong there. All they will need to do is to develop the playing field apart from the stands, which comes automatically, you have to give us a good service at the National Stadium. And that would be one of the keys, that when teams come to Barbados to play, they know that Barbados will not be easily defeated there. You see, at the turf, the turf is nice, but the field is not that big. And obviously, at times, there's not enough room.
Mm-hmm.
And we are at a disadvantage then when we travel overseas, like Dominican Republic, when we play on those big fields. So the finances must come from government, along with whatever money FIFA will give to the BFA. And once they work together, that will be a simple task. And let us get back up the rankings. You know the meaning of the rankings, to be where we were before and know where we are. 162 is not good enough for Barbados football.
Agreed. There's so much more that can be done for football, especially at the highest level. There's much more we can do as a nation. And here's hoping that we can do that for the future of our football. As we mentioned, we have so many players overseas on scholarship, getting more and more players overseas playing. And it would be great if players can see those opportunities and go after those opportunities here in Barbados. And that will certainly boost our product and boost our way up the rankings for sure. I am in agreement for sure. Anything to do with the promotion and betterment of the footballing community, I am for. But Keith, as a former coach at the National Sports Council, I think it is equally important for other sports to get that same financial and that moral support from the entities that be.
You will be surprised to know that in the initial stages of football with the Sports Council, we used to put up two sticks as goal bars. And we move, I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
No crossbar or anything. Two natural, normal sticks. The field, it was not marked in any proper way. And we move away from that. Baiko was encouraged to come on board and sponsor the tournament. And a number of the top young players have come through that program. And one of the keys there is that the Sports Council have always had quality coaches. The latest man that have gone there, to the best of my knowledge, is the outstanding Gregory Lalu Goodrich.
Indeed.
Who went and played in England. They have other coaches like Andre Proverbs, Tony Jarvis, who have been there a long time, Frank Holder. So I can't call all, because I'm not totally aware with some of the others. But what I'm saying is that the coaches who are there can take football to a different level once they are given that opportunity to go forward. Another aspect that needs to be even better developed, it is well developed at the moment, is the BDF sports program. Because my feeling is that if you can get 20 of the best young footballers in that program, they already will be rewarded with a nice little stipend. They'll be fit. They'll be disciplined. I know that Asquith does a very, very, very good job there. But we could even take it higher, because that is how Trinidad football developed over the years when I was a young man. Lots of Trinidad and top national players came through their Defence Force program.
Mm-hmm.
So along with the Sports Council and the Defence Force, and government puts in a little more money, because I was speaking to Michael Jules, who is the coordinator of the program there, and that is what he is hoping for. So yes, we can move forward, and very, very, very positively too.
And let's hope that we can move forward very positively with the collective effort and enthusiasm of everyone involved in football and certainly in sports in Barbados. Now, speaking about getting into that higher level of things, let's switch quickly to the higher level, to the guys who are the pros. And this weekend, of course, we return to Premier League action. Keith, we have to start by talking about Crystal Palace. And we have to talk about Crystal Palace because our very own, our very good friend, Anmar Goodrich Boyce, he is a Crystal Palace fan. He is a naturalized Crystal Palace fan because of his dad. He shared his thoughts with us on Crystal Palace's win over Tottenham Hotspur, a very big rival of yours. Crystal Palace defeated Spurs 3-0. Spurs went down to 10 men, actually. And here's what Anmar had to say.
Maitland, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. definitely a brilliant result for Crystal Palace. Their first win of the Premier League campaign this season. And I think it's special because we got the win over Tottenham, who up to that point, you know, were undefeated so far in the season, despite, you know, all the news surrounding Harry Kane and, you know, his possible move to Manchester City. Of course, you know, he opted to stay at Spurs at least for another transfer window and another season. So I think to get the 3 points against the Spurs team just underscores, you know, what type of character and determination that Palace had. Obviously, we weren't off to a good season at all, losing the first game, you know, then getting a draw versus West Ham. I thought that was a very good result, considering that West Ham are in immaculate form, you know. Mikel Antonio, you know, he's playing really well. So to get a point versus West Ham, you know, coming from behind twice and equalizing, I thought that was a great result. And then to come here at home, in front of the home support, in front of the home crowd, you know, a bit special too for Patrick Vieira, who's the new manager. He would definitely be feeling good, you know, just to get that first 3 points out of the way and get going in the Premier League. Obviously, it was a bit of a strange game, Spurs being reduced to 10 men, but nevertheless, Eduardo, he scored twice and on his debut for Palace as well. So a very dream start to his career at Crystal Palace. And then, of course, the talisman, the one and only Wilfried Zaha, doing what he does best, you know, scoring from the penalty spot. And also he had an assist in the 84th minute. So I think all in all, Palace show that, you know, they're not going to just lie down and play dead. I always knew that it would be a difficult campaign this season around, given the fact that, you know, a number of our players are aging. You know, if you look at the general average age of the squad is around 33, 34. So I would definitely like the chairman and the board to bring some new players. But of course, this result means a lot. It moves Palace actually up to 11th in the table so far, you know. When we talk about Crystal Palace and these teams around Crystal Palace, 3 points makes a massive difference. I know it's early days in the season, but even, you know, just to be 11th at this point, I think it's a lot. And I'm really excited to see, you know, what this season will hold for Crystal Palace. Obviously, with the likes of Zaha, they lost Andros Tolson, but Zaha, I believe that he can go on and score a couple of goals as well. Really need to see some more from Christian Benteke. He's not yet lived up to, you know, the expectations of him as a Crystal Palace player. He's been struggling a bit for the last couple of seasons, so I think this is the season really where he needs to come to the party, as well as Jordan Ayew. He's gone a long time without scoring goals, so definitely, I think if those three can come together, as well as Gallagher, you know, he scored twice versus West Ham, so it seems to be that he's going to be a very important player for Palace. But if these four players and the midfield can come together, you know, I think it would be a very, very good season for Palace. And obviously, you know, the hopes and the expectations would be, first and all, to avoid relegation and then to finish in the top half of the Premier League.
Excellent analysis. And Mark Goodrich, boys, you can't say that you are not a Palace fan after that superb analysis. How soon till you back at Selhurst Park?
Well, you know, with the COVID-19 and the pandemic right now, it's a bit difficult to say the least. But I think I won't be back there till probably next year. As you would know, and as I'm going to tell the viewers, the listeners, I beg your pardon, you know, my dad lives in Southeast London, so it's a bit close to the park. So I normally just go over and watch the game. So I'm hoping that next year, you know, I can just jump on a flight and get to see Palace, hopefully, versus a Manchester United. See Palace play Spurs, I've seen them play West Ham. Get to see them play Man United, Chelsea, Arsenal per se. So it would be very interesting to see those big names pop.
You mentioned Manchester United. Ronaldo, 2 goals on debut. Back like he never left. Sheer pandemonium at Old Trafford. I'm sure you watched the game. What's your thoughts on Ronaldo?
A dream restart, a dream return for Cristiano Ronaldo at Manchester United. I think it's just what the doctor ordered. Coming in with such a big tag, a big price tag on his name, you know. He's been that type of player that I think Manchester United were lacking since he left, believe it or not, 12 years ago. He's come back, and like you mentioned, is that he never left. And it just had to be him on this day. It seemed like Newcastle would frustrate United early on. But, you know, obviously Mason Greenwood with a shot and then Ronaldo with his tap in just to settle the nerves. You know, he'd be grateful to get that first goal. And then obviously, We see what he can do. He's 36 years old, Nick, but he's playing like he's 26. Obviously, the ball in from Luke Shaw, and once he's one-on-one, mate, then, you know, it's the back of the net, the goal, through the keeper's leg, keeper stood no chance. And I think this is just a glimpse of what Manchester United will see throughout the season. And I said it on Twitter, and I'm going to say it again here on the podcast, Nick. I think Cristiano Ronaldo is the best player in the world. And I think if he can go on and win the Premier League this season with Manchester United at 36, I'm going to tell you this, he'll be above Messi. And I think it will be the greatest achievement in his career.
Thank you very much, Anmar. And Keith, you would have heard Anmar's take on Crystal Palace. And more importantly, Anmar's take on Cristiano Ronaldo returning to Manchester United and scoring a brace on his debut. It was a fairy tale romantic moment. As I love to say on the World Class Football Podcast, I love the fairy tale romantic football moments. Those are the ones I live for. Keith, I know you would have watched Ronaldo's second debut at Old Trafford, his home debut. Rafael Varane also made his home debut. What do you think of the maestro Cristiano?
Ronaldo can leave you breathless.
Wow.
He will go down in history as one of the greatest players of all time. He plays with style, finesse and flair. A little bit of arrogance, but that is expected. And he can score some fantastic goals like he did on his return to Old Trafford. And he is well-loved at Old Trafford. Kudos to Ronaldo. And in general to Man U, I know you're a Man U fan. And one of the people that will help Ronaldo to be even a better player is my favorite player in the world, Paul Pogba. Mm-hmm. Ronaldo scored that first goal, like we discussed off the podcast, that only top strikers can score. He anticipated that even though the shot from Greenwood didn't look that powerful, once the goalkeeper did not hold the ball into his chest, Ronaldo was on the doorstep. Easy waltz again. And the second one, a bomb. He is a fantastic player. And no one can question that at 36. I saw him in training, and he is still extremely fit. He played extremely well.
Defies description at times. Another guy who returned home, as it were, was Romelu Lukaku. And he already opened his Chelsea account. But he also scored a brace this weekend as Chelsea dismissed Aston Villa 3-0. What do you think of Lukaku? And can you see a little bit of a battle brewing here between Ronaldo and Lukaku for the Golden Boot?
Well, definitely so. And don't forget, not only those two, the man who scored 100 goals today for Liverpool. So, yes, and if you remember in our first podcast, I did mention the improvement of Lukaku. And like Ronaldo, he knows how to put the ball in the goal. And with Salah scoring the open Liverpool account, that was his 100th goal. So it is going to be really, really interesting to see who will come out with the Golden Boot. Because City players will be watching, and they'll be hoping that, say, let us say, Sterling can come and get some goals. So it should be really exciting with all of these top players in good form right at the beginning of the season. And apart from Salah scoring 100, Mane has scored his 99th goal for Liverpool today too. Mm-hmm. So he must be in the reckoning.
Indeed. All the forwards, it seems, Keith, are in great form at the beginning of the season. But of course, the season is a marathon and is not a sprint. So you have to keep this up for 38 weeks. But all the strikers looking good. Another striker looking good is my good friend from Gabon, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the club captain of Arsenal Football Club. He scored his first goal of the season this weekend.
Well, you would be
surprised. And Arsenal have their first points of the season. Keith, how, you're not feeling
first
happy?
Goal, first points, and not even you could have missed the goal that the striker scored. He was right on the doorstep when the ball came off the goal post. And it is good to see him scoring a goal, because he is going to be right up there with the top goal scorers. He is a natural. And surely, Arsenal had to win that game yesterday against Norwich, or I am certain heads would have ruled.
You barely get in there too. You barely get a little tapping goal, but a goal is a goal. not disputing the quality.
Only 3 points.
Yes, not disputing the quality of it, but Arsenal still need a bit more in terms of their play and in terms of their finishing if they're going to really trouble the top four, even the European places this season. It's a long season ahead. Very long season ahead. Many more international breaks to come. A lot more competitions to play in as well. The Champions League.
Well, yes, because the Champions League will begin on Tuesday. I'm almost certain that United are playing Young Boys.
Yes.
The good thing about United, they have strength in depth. Even though Ronaldo has no return, there's still Cavani. There's no Rashford as yet because of injury. And one of the young players I would like the local players to watch is Lingard, who Solskjaer is saying he's not letting him go back to West Ham.
Yeah.
He is keeping him. And he have already began to score goals also. So it should be a very outstanding year for football in general. And during the international break, France are back on track. And Griezmann look supreme, to tell you the truth.
So Griezmann returning to Atletico Madrid. A lot of players on the move in Europe. Of course, we spoke at length about Lionel Messi going to Paris Saint-Germain, etc. Quickly, before you go, any general predictions for the Champions League? What are you expecting this year?
Well, I will wait to the first set of matches are played. And then in our next podcast, maybe I'll be able to tell you definitively who I believe will go down to the wire. But we should be in for some exciting times. The pandemic is always a problem there. But with God's continued blessing, it should soon subside. And therefore, we will see the players at their brilliant best. I know you're a Man U man. Mm-hmm. And I proudly say, I heard for Arsenal and France. But the weekend belongs to Cristiano Ronaldo and Man United.
On that note, I have nothing else to say. Before you go, Keith, let me just tell you some of the games that are on this week in the Champions League. Young Boys versus Manchester United. You have Barcelona versus Bayern Munich as well. You have Chelsea versus Zenit St. Petersburg. Malmo versus Juventus. Besiktas and Borussia Dortmund. Club Brugge versus Paris Saint-Germain. Manchester City versus RB Leipzig of Germany. Atletico Madrid versus FC Porto. And what about this matchup? Liverpool versus AC Milan. Sporting Lisbon against Ajax Amsterdam. Inter Milan versus Real Madrid. That's you call that the Jose Mourinho Derby. Big games in the Champions League. A lot to look forward to. Here's hoping that, for me, Manchester United can take the energy from this weekend into the Champions League. Keith, thanks once again for your input and for your opinion and for your wisdom. I'm sure you'll be praying for the fortunes of Arsenal and of France and of all the French players. So even if Arsenal gets you upset, remember that you love Paul Pogba and there's always room for you on the Manchester United wagon, okay?
God's blessing and thanks for having me once again. And Barbados, let's be disciplined as we go forward with hope and faith in our heart.
Thanks for listening, guys, to another episode of Off the Post, the world-class football podcast. I'm your host, Nick Maitland. My guest has been Mr. Keith Grell Griffith, and we will see you next time.